Welcome back to the Rusted Culture. Oh yeah, we're still here, folks. Just like that stain in your toilet bowl that doesn't go away, or maybe like that old meatloaf that's been hanging out in your freezer for 2 or 3 years. We're here. Stay right there. Oh yes, folks. Oh gosh, we've got a lot to talk about. How did we get to this point, folks? I mean, how... how in the Sam Hell did we get to this point? The impeachment of Donald Trump. How did we get here? You know, for years I've been saying, just give the man a microphone. Give Donald Trump a microphone. Just let him talk. Just let him talk. Just sit back and let him talk. And he's going to sink his own boat all by himself. Well, the most amazing thing about this impeachment is that it's not the Democrats' fault. No, it's not even the Republicans' fault. No. Folks, I can hardly believe it myself, but Trump did this to Trump. He did it to himself. A stable genius, he says? Ha ha. That's got to be the joke of the century. How about this one? He just tweeted this out. Day or two ago, unmatched in wisdom? Oh, you've got to be kidding me, he says. Unmatched in wisdom? I mean, I just don't even listen to it anymore. You know, it's just a bunch of noise. Give me a break, Donald Trump. It's time for Donald Trump to take responsibility for his actions. Folks, he did this to himself. He's admitted that he had that conversation with President Zelensky of Ukraine, where he asked President Zelensky to dig up dirt on Joe Biden and his son, Hunter Biden, all the while intonating there would be no aid for Ukraine unless Donald Trump got some help on getting dirt on the Bidens. You know, and keep in mind, folks, keep in mind that Russia just recently took Crimea from Ukraine, and Russia is still waging a battle on their border through their operatives with Ukraine. I mean, this is a country that's under siege, and the president of the United States of America is playing this game where you do this, and then you'll get that. You'll get the javelins that you need to defend your country. I just have a little favor that I need to ask you. Trump sought to take the Ukraine's dire situation and tried to use that dire situation to squeeze some dirt out on his political opponent, Joe Biden. I mean, it's beyond rotten. It's beyond corrupt. And what makes this thing so insidious is the bromance that exists between Donald Trump and Putin. Folks, it's a bromance from hell that feeds on corruption. It's just self-perpetuating. It's disgusting. If I could ask Trump myself about how corrupt it is to do this to Ukraine, here's what I suspect he might say.
Do I look like I know what corruption is?
Yeah. Does he look like he knows what corruption is? I mean, seriously. I mean, ask yourself that question when you hear Trump utter the word corruption. And he says it a lot. He says corruption a lot. The more he says it, the more pure it makes him feel. He says it a lot, corruption. He obviously has no clue what corruption really is. He has no idea. And here's another riddle for you. Why would Trump's Department of Justice run all over the globe personally asking countries to assist them, the Department of Justice, in probing the origins of the Mueller probe? Why would Trump want to do this? Why? Well, just think about it. Just sit back and for a second, think about it. If Donald Trump can cast some shade, some doubt on the foundations of the Mueller probe and specifically cast doubt on what the Russians did to influence our election, then Donald Trump can remove the sanctions, possibly remove the sanctions the U.S. currently has on Russia. And folks, everything Trump does with respect to Russia is basically positive for Russia. That's what the Putin-Trump bromance is all about. And it's just my opinion here, folks, but what's in this that we don't know about for Donald Trump? What's in this whole deal for him? What's in it for Trump if he lifts the sanctions against Russia? I personally do not, this might not be a big surprise to you, but I personally don't trust Donald Trump's motives with respect to Russia. I have zero trust. I have zero trust in what he's doing. Because, again, just ask yourself,
do I look like I know what corruption is?
No. No. The key point here, folks, getting back to the impeachment, is that Donald Trump did this to Donald Trump. As crazy as that might seem, as made for TV as that might seem, Donald Trump did this to Donald Trump. It just happens that, thanks to a democratically controlled House, they're going to hold him accountable for what he has done. It's that simple. You, just like me and everybody else around here, we're all bound by laws. The laws are what makes a society function. And Trump, despite what he thinks, is bound by the same laws and constitution that you and I are bound by. That's how it works. And what you're witnessing here, folks, what you're witnessing in this whole made-for-TV drama, and trust me, it will be on TV if we can all live long enough to see it. What you're witnessing here is the death of a rigged system, rigged by Donald Trump, a political system that Moscow Mitch and his endless cronies have rigged to support Trump, no matter what the hell he does or whatever he will ever do. It just is going to support him, no matter what happens. No, he can do nothing. Donald Trump could do nothing. Shoot somebody, like he said on Fifth Avenue. He could do nothing to end the support that people like Moscow Mitch keep pouring and gushing. Lindsey Graham, guilty, guilty. Just sit down and shut up, Lindsey. You're guilty and you know it. He's as corrupt as it gets and you know it. But can you just imagine for a second what things would be like if the Republicans still had control over the House? Can you imagine what that would be like, the House of Representatives, if it was still controlled by the Republicans? Where in the Sam Hill would we be in this nasty swamp of corruption with this going on? Where would we be?
Do I look like I know what corruption is?
He's got no clue what corruption is. He's got no clue. But things have changed, folks, thanks to that election. Things have changed. And there's a new sheriff in town. And guess what? Donald Trump is going to be held accountable for what he has done. Finally. Talk about corruption, folks. What else do you think Trump has shoved onto that top secret server sitting in the White House? Yep, that top secret server in the White House. That server that isn't connected to any other network. That top secret server that you physically have to sit your fanny down in front of and then enter the super secret password to access. That same server that is so super secret that it was just recently modified so that they can now, whoever they are, can not only see who uploaded or downloaded a file onto that super secret server, but now they can also tell who simply accessed and laid eyes on a file. What in the Sam hell are they hiding? What's going on there? What in the hell is going on there at the White House? And what's on that super secret server in the White House? Why are Trump's staff shoving transcripts of calls with foreign leaders away from any eyes onto that super secret server? Why not just, Mr. Trump, step out from the darkness, step into the light, and share with us all what's on that super secret server of yours whirring away in the White House? Step into the light, Mr. Trump. Be truthful. Share with us what is on that server. Once again, America, it's time to wake up and smell the treason and put country over party for once and duty over bank account, if you will, and hold Donald Trump accountable. It's time once again to wake up and smell the treason. Our Constitution demands it. And I don't know if you realize this, but few countries have a constitution, and beyond that, few countries have a constitution like ours is constructed, by the way. The British, for example, they have no constitution. We as Americans are a country ruled not by party, but by the power our forefathers have vested in that document called the Constitution. And it's high time to rise above party and support the power of the Constitution to hold our president accountable. No man is stronger than the power vested in that document. That starts with we the people. We the people. No man, not even Donald Trump, folks. We are those people. We are those people. Red, yellow, black, and white. All Americans, we're all Americans, and just as we are protected by that Constitution, we have to protect and enforce that Constitution. This is that time to protect the Constitution, folks, as well as our system of elections. We don't want any foreign influence in our elections, and that's what was happening when Donald Trump was asking for a favor for President Zelensky to dig up dirt on the Bidens. We don't want foreign countries meddling in our elections. We don't want Russia. We didn't want Russia in 2016 meddling in our elections. We don't want anybody meddling today in our 2020 elections. This is our election. We are the people in that Constitution. And it's high time we defend it. Folks, there's more to come. I want you to stay right there. Riders on the Riders on the So folks, just the other week here, Bernie Sanders came to town nearby where I live here, and you know, this is Iowa after all. Everybody's in Iowa that's wanting to be elected. But seldom do these candidates get really nearby to me. So I decided to go, you know, get a clean shirt on and comb the hair and go see Bernie at Luther College in Decorah. So I drove out and I got there about 15 minutes before 1 p.m., which is when he was scheduled to speak. And the event, you know, was supposed to start promptly at 1 p.m. So I thought I had plenty of time. And I kid you not. I heard a lady while I was standing right outside getting ready to go in say, "It's almost full." And seconds later, the guards from the college shout, "That's all. No more. 500. That's it." So seconds, literally seconds away from going in, I was turned away turned away. My God, did they not know who they were talking to? I mean, I've got the Rest in Culture podcast. Let me in, Bernie, please. So, long story made short, I did get press credentials, so next time this won't happen, and I'll be able to sit with the press. Isn't that kind of neat? That's kind of nice. So I did learn something. And, but there I was. There I was, folks, all dressed up, and no place to go. No place to go. But here's the kind of guy that Bernie is, folks, and I just can't stress this enough. Here's what he is made of. A representative told us, and there was a group of about 30 by now, just kind of milling about, and there were people who raised their hands politely and said, you know, if we RSVP, can we still get in? And I'm like, good luck. No, that didn't even matter. So there's a group of about 30 of us just kind of milling about, and one of the people in the campaign came out and addressed us, and they said, folks, we're sorry, we're full in the center and the convention center here, and if you can just simply move to the edge over here, just kind of move about 15 feet over, Bernie will come by and address you in a few minutes before going in to speak to the 500 people that were in the convention center. And he did. And he did. I mean, who else does this? Have you ever heard of Donald Trump doing this at one of his little so-called red, white, and blue, you know, rallies, I guess they are? Have you heard of him doing that? No. But Bernie did. And, you know, he came out and looked just like he did on TV. And he talked to us a little bit about the billionaire class, like he always does. And he went on about a few other things, and he said, folks, I need your vote. You know, this is something that I'm asking you for, and he asked for our vote. But the point is, he actually did care enough, and he did come out, and I thought it was kind of interesting. He had like a little soapbox, and he kind of took a step up there, and it was sort of, I don't know, it was sort of Norman Rockwellian, in a sense. Here's this 78-year-old man with disheveled hair and running for president, talking to us from about the billionaire class, and he has this little soapbox just to give him that extra foot so we could see him. But he couldn't take questions from all of us who were there because he was late, a little bit late as it was. But I will tell you what I wanted to ask Bernie. I had a question, and I was really dying to ask Bernie this. And it would have been like this. I would have said, Bernie, back in 1936, Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave a speech called The Rendezvous with Destiny. And in that speech, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he railed against the economic royalists of the day and how much we as Americans had to do through his New Deal, and how much we would benefit as Americans through the New Deal. Basically, to preserve our democracy is how Franklin Delano Roosevelt explained it in that speech, and how much we needed to take it back from those economic royalists. And I do have a link to that speech in my show notes. And there's an interesting article. In fact, what I might do is just post the article. Politico.com has a very interesting article about that speech. And I thought it was just, it sort of got me thinking. And it's something that I've been thinking about for some time. And this article just nailed it right on the head. And within that, you'll see a little SoundCloud clip where you can listen to the speech. And I kind of urge you to do it because I really think a lot of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and this was a man of means, folks. He didn't have to fight for the middle class, but he did. It wasn't within his social class to do these things. Fight for the middle class, but he did. So again, that's in my show notes, and I kind of urge you to take a look at that and check it out. But the main thing here was that Franklin Delano Roosevelt was branded a socialist by many of the day, which is what's happening to Bernie, which is what's happening to Elizabeth Warren, which happens to anybody that says we need a comprehensive medical health care plan for all Americans. They're called a socialist for doing that. But the interesting thing here is that although Franklin Delano Roosevelt was branded a socialist, he replied that these programs that he was putting forth in the New Deal will preserve our democracy and not destroy it. That was the argument that he made, always the consummate American. So Mr. Sanders, Bernie, hint, hint, I was going to say, what do you say to your detractors that call you a socialist? And my point here is that we have no candidate, folks, out there. Like I said, whether you look at Elizabeth Warren, whether you look at Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, any of them out there, we have no candidate running for office today that is a socialist. So let's start pushing these people calling Warren a socialist or calling Bernie a socialist back into the holes that they came from. And here's the reason, folks. Here's the reason. Socialism, in the true sense of the word, means that the government controls the means of production, distribution, and exchange of the economy. That's not what anyone running for president today wants, Republican, obviously, or Democrat. Not Warren, not Sanders, not Biden, not Buttigieg, none of them. Now, in contrast, what they do want, as a unanimous theme, is a government that works for everybody, not just the rich. But when you're as desperate as some Republicans are, you just call them socialist. You just call them a socialist. Brand them. We talked about that in a few podcasts. Just brand them socialist and move on. That's what you do. In our economy of today, folks, I'm probably not telling you anything you don't already know when I say that the middle class is stagnating and even going backward, while the rich just get richer, helped in part by the government that subsidizes them with tax cut and allows companies like Amazon, which, by the way, I love, but it still allows companies like Amazon not to pay any taxes. You can't run a government with a company like Amazon, one of the biggest companies in our economy, not paying any taxes. Does that make sense, Mr. Trump? Do you see anything wrong with that? And folks, what's new is old, in that the same fight that Franklin Delano Roosevelt had to make for the middle class back in 1936 and the poor back in 1936 is the same fight we desperately need to have today. Our beloved democracy and the economy that powers it is in desperate need of being rebalanced. Nobody ever said the economy was a set-it-and-forget-it economy. To maintain the democracy and to have a government that works for everyone and not just the rich, you occasionally have to rebalance or tune that economy up. Capitalism is not imperfect. And doing things like promoting and offering health care as an option for people would free millions in the middle class and poor from staggering health care costs. It would free them from that staggering burden of health care and the dread that they have about going to the doctor and not being able to pay. It would free them from that. And how better to power an economy by liberating the middle class and the poor from the burden of healthcare if they want it. And how about this? How about making the rich pay their fair share in taxes and making companies like Amazon pay their fair share in taxes before you decide not to provide health care or before you decide to cut programs for the poor? What I'm suggesting to the rich here, what I'm suggesting to the rich that basically run this country is, how about you get your dang house in order before going off the rails and trying to squeeze the poor? When you and the rest of the economic elite and corporate elite start paying their fair share of taxes, Mr. President, then we'll talk about cutting programs for the poor, but not till then. You get your house in order and you start paying your fair share, Mr. President, and then we'll talk about cutting programs for the poor. You can't have a government that works for the rich and simultaneously cuts off the poor, folks. It doesn't work like that. Turn the tables on them, folks. And when they get their act together, when Amazon starts paying their fair share, when Donald J. Trump starts paying his fair share, we'll talk. We'll cut programs for the poor. But till then, don't come a-knockin' and don't call us socialists. You got it? That's the way it works. You turn the tables on them. They clean house first, then we'll talk. Well, folks, I want to thank you for listening. That's all I have for you at the moment. And I do want to thank you for joining in and listening to me, Frank Ebersold, on the Rusted Culture Podcast. And I promise, just like that stain in your bowl, I'll be back again. Till then, folks, here's a little remix of I Dream of Jeannie, just to close it out. Till then.